You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
In previous episodes on this program, we've talked to people who have used cannabis for treating a serious brain injury. Today, we're talking to a man who has dealt with three traumatic brain injuries. And joining us from New York State is James Wilson. James, good of you to do this. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you, Ian and Corey. Thank you.
Tell us about your very first brain injury. How did it happen?
Oh, geez, wow. I was actually a passenger inside a box truck at work, and me and the driver had just dropped off a bunch of empty pallets and were on our way back to the docks, and he drove underneath a too low overpass and threw me headfirst into the windshield.
Oh my god.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I was fortunate that we didn't go through it, but had some pretty serious complications after that.
Like what?
Well, a couple days later, all of a sudden my legs started shaking. I couldn't walk without a cane. I was, 24, 25 years old. And my legs, every time I stood up, they just shook. Like, they couldn't hold my body weight at all. I had serious confusion, short-term memory loss. I later found out that I was having petit mal seizures where I would just kind of blank out, even in the middle of conversations. I just would be gone for a few minutes at a time, and I didn't even realize it.
What are those called, James?
Petit mal seizures.
Petit mal.
Like we've all heard of the grand mal seizures of the epilepsy,
mm-hmm.
But the petit mal seizures are pretty much like the where your brain just shuts off, and You're just blank stare for a few minutes at a time, sometimes even longer, depending on the person.
Now, how long did these after effects of your brain injury last?
I believe I'm still dealing with them, honestly. That was 13 years ago, my first one. But I was unable to work for a year and a half at that time. Mm-hmm. I couldn't work at all. I couldn't even move my head for about 6 months. It was just stuck in place due to the swelling and everything going on with the neck and the whiplash. Like I had probably an inch of rotation on my head.
Wow.
For about 6 months. Yeah.
Were you wearing one of those collars that they give you?
I remember asking them and they said no, that it was actually better for me to not to, which I didn't understand at that time, but I made it through and I can move my head now. But
were you on any medication at all?
They tried to get me to, but I had not a very good feeling about pharmaceuticals even at that point. So the most that I was willing to take was more like ibuprofen, and pretty much that was it. They wanted to give me narcotics, which I refused. I was just like, I know too many people that have gotten addicted to them, and I don't want to go down that road.
No, so that was your first traumatic brain injury.
Yep.
What was your second?
The second one, I was at work, and I was working at a group home at the time, and we took the people to one of our museums here in New York State, and I dropped my sunglasses and didn't realize that there was a chair in front of me, so I went down and hit my head like full force on the back of the chair. Pretty much, it sent me for a loop, took me right back to all the symptoms, came back. Everything. I was out of work again for another year from that one.
With the same symptoms that you had the first time?
Pretty much, yeah. Yep.
Boy, you've got to quit working.
Yeah.
It's really hazardous for your health.
It is.
So you were...
Believe me, if I could afford to, I would.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah. that was your second. What about your third one?
My third one was 2 years ago, and where we're at, where I live now, is in a it's a forest of pine trees, and they are very thin trunks. And one of the pine trees, I was outside putting up a fence for one of our gardens, and one of the pine trees, it was a very windy day, and it decided it was time to fall over. It was falling away from me, so I was like, wow, you don't get to see a tree fall that often, you know. So I watched it fall, and then it hit another tree, split in half, and came right back and smacked me right in the head again.
Oh, you have the worst luck. Yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't believe it knocked me out, but it definitely knocked me down. I believe I tore some muscles in my left side. I still have pain from that, scar tissue. I was gushing blood from my head. I was had to run inside saying, call 911 immediately, you know.
So did some of the issues from your first traumatic brain injury resurface again?
Oh, yeah. I believe that now it's definitely the issues from the first one and new issues now from this third one specifically. I have a very hard time still with memory issues, confusion. My left eye doesn't like to track all the time with my right eye, so it can kind of... I almost like seeing double vision, seeing out of both eyes, but in different directions. And that can screw with cognitive balance and memory and anxiety, things like that, too.
James, in the past, when we've talked to people who have had traumatic brain injuries, one of the things that I've noticed that they refer to is anger issues, that sometimes they get angry. Is that ever surfaced with you?
That definitely has anger issues, and it's made it difficult to try to raise kids, but we make it work.
Yeah, you know, and that struck me when people refer to that, because I used to live in a house, owned a house that was built in the early 1900s, about 1911, somewhere around there, and the basement was smaller, and I had to duck to go up the stairs. And this was before the cell phones and the internet. And I heard the phone ring upstairs, so I ran to get it, but I didn't duck enough.
Oh.
And I smacked my head. And one of those things where you see stars and you're jolted.
You kind of ran right into it, didn't you?
I ran right into it.
I know, because I can see that flat forehead.
But,
kidding. Kidding.
Thanks a lot. But
I must have a box forehead by now.
Yeah. I did it a couple of times, and I've noticed throughout my life I've dealt with anger issues. And I'm wondering if I suffered a problem. And not to talk about me, but I want to refer to a couple of weeks ago when I was in the bathroom and I was wiping the baseboard clean, and I got up and I smacked my head on the cupboard, and Jesus, it hurt. And right away, I got a headache. And so I started taking CBD after a couple of hours, and I take one every hour and a half, CBD, THC, and it helped. But I thought, when we arranged this interview with you and you talked about your traumatic brain injuries, I wanted to ask you about the anger issues to see if that's that surface. So that really is an effect of having a brain traumatic brain injury.
Oh, you bet. It was definitely mood swings, too, even from grief to fear also can come into play, too, and even with no reason for it. Either, you know, and anger, like you're saying, sometimes mostly for myself nowadays is more of get anger with myself, because I know I should be able to do certain things, but I can't seem to figure it out, or my hands don't move the way that they need to, or my head just doesn't quite grasp the concept whatever it is. It could be something simple. It could be simple math. And I'll just get pissed at myself. Like, dang it, I should know this. But it's definitely something that I've had to come to grips with and develop basically coping mechanisms to deal with that.
Have you found that over the years it's becoming less and less? It's diminished somewhat?
I believe that a lot of it has to do with attitude. And I would have to say, honestly, also depending on the severity of the injury to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I think a healing process comes into play. And believe me, cannabis has been a big part of that, too.
How did that enter the picture for you, cannabis?
That was my brother-in-law, believe it or not. He has always been an advocate for cannabis use. And me, for a long time, I wasn't against it, but I was just like, you know, it's not for me. I don't need it. I was, you know, I used it when I was a teenager and a little bit into my 20s, but I was like, it's not really for me. But he kept telling me, you know, this has been shown to help with people with brain injuries. This was after my third one. And so I started doing some research, and I found what I think 4 or 5 studies that were starting to come out on brain injuries and cannabis use and how it has helped. And at the time, I was going to the concussion clinic at the local city, Syracuse. And so I brought it up to them, you know, my caregivers down there, and they looked at me and they said, you know, there's absolutely no studies done or being done about using cannabis and brain injuries. And as a matter of fact, what we do know is that it makes everything worse. And I was like, wow, that's interesting, because I just read like 4 or 5 studies on them over this last week. So thank you, but I won't be coming back. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was like, either they just didn't know, or they were outright lying about it. And I was like, well, I don't want to be there no matter what the reason was. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If they said to you, listen, we really don't know, but if you want to research it, that's fine. You would have been fine with that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Tell us about starting cannabis.
Okay. Well, at first, because I've been out of the quote-unquote scene for so long, it wasn't that easy to find, because I live in the middle of the woods, right? So I ended up finding some friends of mine helped me out, and you know, I was really nervous at first because I just didn't know what it would do or anything like that. But I started using flowers that I got from friends of mine, and I was like, at least mood-wise, it was an immediate change. Just happiness was there. I started noticing within maybe a couple days that the pain was starting to go. I wasn't getting as many headaches. As time went on, this is a matter of weeks, I was able to, I noticed the confusion was a lot less. Memory was getting better. At the time, I was able, before I started using cannabis, I was able to work about 6 hours a week. And my wife had to drive me also. And within maybe a month to 2 months, I was able to work full time and drive myself to work.
That's amazing. Now, were you just smoking it?
Yes.
Okay. I can hear some chickens in the background.
Yeah, I got a chicken coming up to say hi.
Oh. This is our first chicken on the show. You know that?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's our first wind chimes, too, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, nice.
So do you just continue to smoke?
I use that. I use the flowers, and I use CBD oil, 1,000 milligram CBD oil.
CBD from hemp or CBD from cannabis?
From cannabis.
From cannabis. Awesome.
Yep.
Do you know what percent CBD you're taking?
I'm not sure. All I know is that it is 1,000 milligrams awesome. CBD oil.
Awesome. I know CBD's got a really great track record with head injuries.
Yeah. And I use that primarily throughout the day and save the flowers for nighttime. Once in a while, of course, I'll need the flowers throughout the day just for, you know, extra help with the pain or whatever. It's more of a nighttime ritual kind of thing.
Have you ever fed it to your chickens?
No, not yet.
How much oil do you take a day? CBD oil.
Usually about three drops in the morning. Sometimes I'll take it in the afternoon, about lunchtime, maybe right after lunch. So maybe six drops of the 1,000 milligrams. And then, of course, at night with the flowers, that's a different story anyway.
How do you feel? Do you notice a difference from not taking it to taking it? I mean, for example, if you didn't take it one day, how would you feel compared to the days you do take it?
I've noticed that it's been more sluggish. I think that's the best way I can explain that. You know, there has been a couple times where I've forgotten to take the CBD, and I was like, oh man, I forgot it. I forgot it at home or whatever. Mm-hmm. I noticed that my personality is a little bit more slow. The concentration, is a little bit more slower. The balance issue is more balanced, but spatial awareness, knowing where things are, that tends to get in my way too. I end up kicking doors when I'm opening them or running into walls and, kind of thing.
Do you communicate with other people with traumatic brain injuries that are taking cannabis in any form?
My wife is one. She had a traumatic brain injury a year ago. Wow. And she uses the CBD also.
And how has that helped her?
I believe she's better.
She's not complaining about it then.
Not as much. Mostly for her, her main thing that she's realized is her writing. She can't write like she used to, and that's one of her biggest frustrations. Also, because she's an artist, so she paints, and the line work is a lot more shaky even now.
How did she suffer her injury?
We have a spiral staircase, and she was bringing a load of toys or whatever from our kids downstairs and missed one of the steps and fell about 3 feet down and onto the floor.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have to walk around with helmets.
Yeah, I think so.
It makes you wonder, when we were kids, you go out and play and you fall and you hurt yourself and you land on your head. It makes you wonder today, knowing what we know today, how many of us as kids suffered from concussions or brain injuries?
Yeah, yeah.
Either that or maybe we just fell more gracefully back then.
Yeah, maybe we fell more gracefully. Yeah. Well, I know it's also coming out a bit more, too, about, kids in football and kids in soccer. And, and the science is really starting to take more of a look at that. And thanks to the doctor, I think it's Dr. Omalu, who started breaking it with the NFL here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And the traumatic brain injuries that the football players are dealing with.
Yeah, it's a really serious issue, both football, hockey, any contact sport. And one of the things that they found a number of years ago, even in soccer, you think that's a very tame sport, but there's a lot of heading the ball. And when the ball,
exactly.
When you do that...
What's that do to your head? I've often wondered that. That ball is not a soft ball.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Yeah.
And that, I believe that they're starting to see I know they call them CTEs, but I can't remember what that stands for. But they're starting. It's the little black marks that they find in the brain from the different head injuries. They are finding that with soccer players from primarily heading the ball.
Yeah.
That it does cause a similar chronic reaction.
Chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Encephalopathy. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Say that five times fast.
One time fast might be enough, Corey.
It was enough for me.
Corey's quick on Google there.
Okay.
James, have you ever thought of maybe taking cannabis oil with a combination of THC and CBD?
I have thought about it, yeah.
Have you tried it?
I have not as of yet, but I'm excited to. Just being able to to come up with the money to purchase some.
It's expensive. But,
yeah.
But I think, you know, I don't know whether it would help you, but I'm just thinking that maybe something, a combination of the two. What do you think, Corey?
Yeah, I think it would be worth a try, like even a one-to-one or something.
Yeah.
THC
a one-to-one can, tincture.
Yeah, THC yeah. can really work wonders.
Right.
That's for sure.
Right. I believe I'll be able to get some this next month, or actually now it's June, so this month, which will be that'll be exciting to try out and see how that works for me throughout the day.
Are you allowed to grow your own in New York State?
As far as New York State laws are, no, we are not.
But you live out, you live out in the woods, so
correct.
You'd be okay.
Yeah, we probably yeah. We have I don't know. My opinion on it is that our the laws that we have here, though we do have medical laws, but they are pretty much archaic laws. We have just a handful of illnesses that are covered. We just got chronic pain on the list, but we're only allowed tinctures, oils, and edibles, I believe. Maybe some vape also, vape kits. But we're not definitely not allowed flowers for whatever reason. It's probably more politics than anything else, you know.
James, after three traumatic brain injuries, what would you be like, do you think, if you didn't take cannabis?
I don't believe I'd be able to work at all. That's for sure. I know my mood swings would probably be too much to bear. And my kids are 7 and 6 years old, so they're, you know, they don't deserve that kind of mood swings either. I mean, they're just young, you know, and they wouldn't understand what was really going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think my relationship with my wife would probably still be okay because she's a very understanding woman. But it would probably bring a lot more stress to that. The friends that I have now, I probably wouldn't have anymore. You know what I mean? I'm a lot more social than I used to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's one thing about cannabis. It really is a sociable medicine, I guess.
Yeah.
And as opposed to alcohol, which, you know, you get around drunks and you don't want to hang around with a drunk.
No.
But someone who's high or someone who's taking cannabis as a medicine, I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's the difference between the two that a lot of politicians and those people who are opposed to cannabis really don't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about this collective that you're involved in.
Okay. I'm a caregiver with a CannaSense Total Wellness, and we are a California-based collective that reading the laws that we have in the Constitution, realize that by having the Compassionate Use Act, which is California's medical law, that and Article 4, Section 1 of the Constitution, that actually medical cannabis is legal in all 50 states. And I can read that article to you. Just so you understand, and the people listening can understand too. So, Article 4, Section 1 states that full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. What the lawyers of CannaSense have realized is that basically what that means is that the laws and provisions set forth in California for medical cannabis, the rest of the states have to allow their citizens to follow that law also. So we currently have patients in, I believe, 49 states. The last one that we're missing is Alaska. But we're shipping right to them medical cannabis. They go, they see a doctor through the telemedicine. And, I mean, we have thousands of people in our collective right now.
So I'm not quite understanding this. Does this mean that because I don't live in the U.S., so I apologize.
Yes, sir.
Does this mean that if there are medical cannabis patients in other states because of what happened in California, they should have equal access?
Yes.
That's what we
help people do. We help them get a doctor recommendation from a California board certified doctor. That it's free to join our collective as a patient. And they upload the doctor recommendation to our website, to the registration form. We go through and approve it. And then we have an online apothecary that they can order from, medical cannabis. And we have flowers and oils and the Rick Simpson oil, tinctures, edibles, wax, a whole plethora of medicine.
Tell me about what your wife and yourself talk about in terms of having both suffered traumatic brain injuries. You kind of look at each other and say,
holy.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell's with us?
Sometimes we just have to look at each other and laugh.
It's all you can do, right?
Yeah. Because, you know, fortunately now I have someone with me that understands what's going on.
Did she get frustrated with you prior to her having her incident as well?
I'm sure to some degree, but like I said, she's very understanding. So she was just kind of a lot of the times just let me kind of go off and throw my fit or whatever, and and then when I came back to the house, she'd be like, "Hey, are you all better now?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you deal with the medical profession at all in terms of your head injuries?
In terms of head injuries, I'm pretty much just with my primary care.
Okay.
And he's more along the lines of taking the stance of this is your third one, you know what's going on. But if things get worse, come on back and we'll run tests. We'll do whatever we collectively think is right.
Well, it sounds like you, you know, you're on the road to recovery. You're taking cannabis. You're back at work, which is a huge improvement from the past, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
And so I think, you know, if you were to kind of venture into the combination of THC and CBD and just see what works for you, I think things will be fine.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm excited to get some this month. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's great. Anything you'd like to say in conclusion, James?
Not that I'm aware of. I can't think
but
of
you're
anything.
Right. We might remember in a few minutes.
Yeah, I might remember in a few minutes. But I do really appreciate what you guys are doing. I do listen to your show. I just found it, honestly, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, your podcast, and I've listened to quite a few of the episodes, and really happy that you guys are doing that, and I encourage others to share it, and I know once in a while you guys make mention of donations, so I'm excited to be able to do that sometime in the near future. And I hope that others do as well.
No, we appreciate
to keep you guys going.
We appreciate that. And Corey and I don't get any money from this. And the donations are very, very slim.
Yeah, extremely slim. We haven't even paid off the equipment. It kind of came out of our, well, not kind of, it came out of our own pocket. Neither of us are working. So we very much appreciate any donations we can get.
We think this will work. We believe we're doing something a little different than everyone else who does podcasts. People do podcasts on recreational marijuana. They do it on the business side. And Corey and I just decided to focus on the medical side.
And getting the word out there.
Yeah, getting the word out. And I think at some point, you know, there are companies in the U.S. who have expressed interest, but because of the strange laws in North America about whether you can sell CBD or whether you can't sell CBD, it's their lawyers have cautioned them about advertising. So I think at some point we think this will work, and it will work because of people like you who tell their stories and others who tell their stories as well. And we're optimistic about the future. So we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I make one other quick note too?
Sure.
I just wanted to remind people too that it was December of this past year where the DEA here in the U.S. Rescheduled or reclassified CBD as a Schedule One drug again.
Yes. Right. Yep. Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just something to be aware of because I know a lot of people still think that's fully legal.
Yeah.
As far as the DEA goes, and it's not.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's one of the issues that has caused us problems in terms of advertising.
Yeah. People who want to advertise with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I love about the collective I'm in, because we have a legal backing also. We have lawyers that are ready to defend people for using their medicine.
James, good to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Yep. You're welcome. Thank you.
And that concludes another edition of Cannabis Health Radio. Wherever you are in the world, thanks very much for listening.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.